It is a real joy to be here today, and what a privilege to be able to share, and just trust that the Lord can be honored. Lynn prayed for a clear mind, and I found the older you get, the more you pray for that. I trust too that that can happen. I said I'm going to read a story for the children. Normally we would have the children come up front, but I'm going to let you stay right where you're at. I think you can just stay right there with your parents. But before I read the story, I'm going to tell a story about the story. Here a couple of weeks ago, I was visiting with Chad, and he said, Tom, I've got a memory of many years ago over in the old building yet. And he said, you sat on a rocking chair and read a story. And he said, I can only remember one word of it. What was that word, Chad?
The child
of
the story called it stuffed animal
of Balami. A Balami, okay. And boy, that made me start thinking. And I racked my brain for a while, and I thought, you know, I think maybe I could come up with that story. And I did. I was able to locate the book. I still had it. And that must have been as much as 25 years ago. So I thought, well, maybe you would enjoy hearing it again if you was there, but also the children would maybe enjoy hearing it. Now, these stories, it comes from it's a book that I've had. There's a three-series book. It was put out by Focus on the Family many years ago, and Great Stories Remembered. And so these are old stories, and sometimes some of the expressions in them are words and so on that we don't use regularly today. And I might even change a word or so just so that it's understood. But I'm going to attempt to read that again. The title of the story is His Intimate. And there's a little bit of a subtitle. It says, when anybody does naughty things and breaks your playthings, he is an intimate. You know what an intimate is? It's an enemy, okay? Mr. Rogers was thinking. His thoughts went back 20 years, and he saw himself a young man doing a prosperous business. And although not in partnership, still closely associated with one who had been his playmate, neighbor, and close friend for years. And then Mr. Rogers saw financial trouble that had come upon him, his friend, and he thought bitterly that if a friend had played the part of a friend, it might have been averted. He saw 20 years of estrangement and felt again the bitterness of that hour. Mr. Rogers rose from his chair and, going to his safe, drew from it three notes of loans for $5,000 each, due on Monday. 20 years is a long time to wait for justice, said he to himself. But now, without lifting a finger, these notes have come into my possession, and I know, Robert Harris, that it will be hard work for you to pay them. I knew justice would be done at last. And Mr. Rogers replaced the notes in his safe and, closing his office, went home to lunch. Many a man will cry out for justice when it's revenge he desires. On Monday morning, Mr. Rogers went to the station to take the 8 o'clock train for Boston. He had just taken his seat when he heard his name spoken and saw Mr. Palmer, his neighbor, standing by his side. "Are you going to town?" asked Mr. Palmer. "Yes," was the reply. "Anything I can do for you?" "Well, I wish you would take charge of my little girl as far as the next station. Her grandmother will meet her there. I have promised her this visit for a week and had intended to take her down myself, but just at the last minute I received a dispatch that I must be here to meet some men who are coming out on the next train." "Why, of course I will," said Mr. Rogers heartily. "Where is she?" At these words, a tiny figure clambered onto the seat, and a cheerful voice answered, "Here I am." "Thank you," said Mr. Palmer. "Goodbye, Betty. Be a good girl, and Papa will come for you tomorrow." "Goodbye, Papa. Give my love to the Bellamy and all the West of the family," replied Betty. People looked around and laughed at Betty's putting the lamb at the head of the family. They saw a very little girl under an immense hat with a pair of blue eyes and rosy cheeks. Mr. Rogers put her next to the window and began to talk with her. "How old are you, Betty?" he asked. "I'm 4:30. How old are you?" promptly returned Betty. "Not quite 100, laughed Mr. Rogers. "Pretty old for all that." "Is that what made the fur come off the top of your head?" she asked, looking thoughtfully at his baldness, for the heat had caused him to take off his hat. Mr. Rogers guessed it was so. Betty pointed out various objects of interest and made original comments upon them, not at all abashed by her companion's age and gravity. Suddenly she looked up and said, "I go to Sunday school." "Do you? And what do you do there?" "Well, I sing and I learn a verse. My teacher gave me a new one about bears, but I don't know it yet. But I know the first one I had. Want me to tell it to you?" The big blue eyes looked confidently up at Mr. Rogers. "Why, of course I do, Betty," he replied. Betty folded her hands and, with her eyes fixed on her listener's face, said, "Love your enemies." Mr. Rogers flushed and involuntarily put his hand on his pocketbook. But Betty, all unconscious of his thoughts, said, "Do you want me to explain it?" The listener nodded, and the child went on. "Do you know what an enemy is?" And receiving no answer, she said, when anybody does naughty things and breaks your playthings, he's an enemy. Bobby Flinch was my enemy. He breaked my dolly's nose, and he stick burrs in my Bellamy's fur. And he said it wasn't Bellamy's, nothing, just a lamy." The big eyes grew bigger as she recalled that last indignity. Mr. Rogers looked deeply interested. Who could have helped it? Looking at the earnest little face, Betty continued to explain. "It doesn't mean," she said, "that you must let him break all your dolls' noses or call your Bellamy names, because that's wicked. But last week, Wobby breaked his bicycle. And the next day, all the boys were going to race. And when I said my prayers, I told the Lord I was glad Wobby broke his bicycle, I was. But when I wanted to go to sleep, I felt bad here." And Betty placed a tiny hand on her chest and drew a long breath. "But by and by, after much as an hour, I guess, I think how naughty that was. And then I tell the Lord I was sorry Wobby had broke his bicycle, and I would lend him mine part of the time, and then I felt good and was asleep in a minute. And what about Robbie? Asked Mr. Rogers. Well, replied the child, I guess if I keep on loving him, he won't be an intimate much longer. I guess not either, said Mr. Rogers, giving his hand to help her down from the seat as the car slackened speed and stopped at the station. He led Betty from the car and gave her into her grandmother's care. I hope she has not troubled you, said the lady, looking fondly at the child. On the contrary, madam, she has done me a world of good, said he sincerely as he raised his hat, and bidding Betty goodbye, he stepped back into the car. Mr. Rogers resumed his seat and looked out of the window, but he did not see the trees, nor the green fields, nor even the peaceful river with its thousands of water lilies, like stars in the midnight sky. Had he told the Lord he was glad his intimate had broken his bicycle and could not join in the race for wealth and position? When he came to put the question straight to his own soul, it certainly did look like it. Well, it was no use for him to say the notes were honestly due. He knew that he could afford to wait for the money, and if Robert Harris was forced to pay them at once, he would probably be ruined. He heard the sweet voice of the child saying, Love your intimate. And he said in his heart, using the old familiar name of his boyhood days, Lord, I'm sorry Rob has broken his bicycle. I'll lend him mine until he gets his mended. Had the sun come out suddenly from behind a dark cloud? Mr. Rogers thought so, but it had really been shining its brightness all that morning. A boy came through the train with a great bunch of water lilies, calling, Lilies, send a piece, 6 for 5. Here, boy, called Mr. Rogers, where did these come from? White pond, lily cold, said the boy, eyeing Mr. Rogers with some perplexity. He had been a train boy for 5 years and had never known Mr. Rogers to buy anything but the newspaper. What do you take for the bunch? 50 cents, said the boy promptly. Mr. Rogers handed him the half dollar and took the fragrant lilies. How do you get into the cove now? He asked as the boy pocketed the money and was moving on. You get out and you shove the boat over the bar, replied the boy as he went on. And Mr. Rogers looked at the flowers with the streaks of pink on the outer petals as the smooth pinkish brown stems and thought of the time 40 years before when he and Rob, two barefoot boys, had rowed across White Pond in a leaky boat and by great exertion dragged and pushed it over the bar and been home at 7 o'clock in the morning with such a load of lilies as had never been seen in the village. Yes, he remembered it, and Rob's mother, excuse me. Yes, he remembered it, and Rob's mother was frying donuts when they got back, and she gave them 6 apiece. Oh, she knew what boys' appetites were, and she'd been dead for 30 years now. Just then the cars glided into the station, and everybody rushed out of the train. Mr. Rogers followed in a kind of a dream, and he walked along until he came to Sunbury Street and stopped at a place where it read, Robert Harris, manufacturer of steam and gas fittings. He entered the building and going up one flight of stairs, opened the door and entered a room fitted up as an office. A man sat at a desk, anxiously examining a pile of papers. He looked up as Mr. Rogers entered, stared at him as if he could not believe his eyes, and without speaking rose from his chair and offered a seat to his visitor. Mr. Rogers broke the silence. Rob, he said, holding out his hand, these came from the cove where we used to go, and I've come around today to say that if you want to renew those notes that are due today, I am ready to do so. But Mr. Harris had sunk into a chair and with his head in his hands was sobbing as if his heart would break. Mr. Rogers awkwardly laid the lilies on the desk and sat down. "Don't, Rob," he said at length. "You wouldn't wonder at it, Tom," was the reply, "if you knew what I have endured for the past 48 hours. I could pay every penny if I have time, but to pay them today would be absolute ruin." "Well, I guess we can fix that," said Mr. Rogers, looking intently into the crown of his hat. Have you any other loans?" "I have less than $200, was the reply. The 20 years of estrangement were forgotten like a troubled dream, and when they finally separated with a clasp of the hand, each felt a dozen years younger." "Ah," replied Mr. Rogers as he walked away with a light step, "Betty was right. If you love your enemy, he won't be an enemy any longer." Okay, I thought maybe you'd enjoy that story. Seemed like no matter what our age is, we still enjoy a story, don't we? And so thank you, Chad, for bringing that memory back. And we enjoyed getting hold of that story again. All right. Well, today, we want to, as has been announced, we want to read Sunday school lesson for the message. It's kind of a combination of a Sunday school class and a message here today. And actually, it's last Sunday's lesson. And we haven't been having Sunday school, of course, and so we've kind of lost out on some of these lessons. But last Sunday, the lesson was Faithful Fathers. And I was kind of surprised that they didn't save that till today, since today is Father's Day. It kind of would have made sense for them to kind of juggle things and have that today, but they didn't. So I thought it would be well if we could take that and kind of look at that today. So if you have your quarterlies, open them up there to the lesson for June 14th. If you don't, I will give the passages as we go. There's several different passages that are used in this. The lesson is divided up into three parts. Now, as we go through this, there's going to be maybe some times I'll ask for some response. And also in this, feel free anytime that if you would like to say something, ask a question, have a thought, don't be afraid to interrupt me, because I can get going. So don't be afraid to interrupt me. And maybe you have a tribute to your father, or say something about fathers too. So we'll just kind of incorporate some sharing time during the message. It's kind of divided up into three parts here. And the first two talks about the qualities of fathers. One is giving fathers, and the second one is caring fathers. And then the third section of the lesson is talking about contrasting fathers. It's a contrast between Abraham and Lot. So it's kind of those three different parts to the lesson. Let's go to Matthew 7, verse 9. This has to do with the first part of giving fathers. Now, we're quite familiar with over in Ephesians 5, where it talks about marriage, and there it compares marriage and likens it to Christ and the church. And we husbands have a responsibility to love our wives as Christ loved the church, and so on. But in this part now, it's using fathers and using God as the ideal example of being a father. We all relate, we all know God as Father. He is the ultimate Father, isn't he? And so he's saying here of we trying to be, as fathers, trying to be like God as we father. Matthew 7, verse 9. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, can you imagine that kind of father? I had to think about, and this is some of you older ones will remember this. How many remember the author Christmas Carol Kaufman? I see a few hands around. Younger ones probably don't remember that. She was a Mennonite lady from years back, wrote a series of books, and they were true stories based on true people. And I always remember the one of them as a young boy. I can't remember what his name was, but he had a father that was very, very cruel and abusive. And I thought of that as I read this. What son or what father, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? And if I remember the story, I don't know where the book is, but if I remember the story right, maybe some of you remember that. I think one Christmas, his father actually put a lump of coal in a stocking for him, and gave it to him for Christmas, and just cruel things. Like that. But that's rare. Thankfully, that's rare. Most fathers would not do that. And that's what he's saying here. So most fathers want to give something good to their children. And then verse 11 says, if ye then being evil, and that simply means We have a sin nature. We're not perfect like God is. And so in comparison to God, we are evil. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? See? How much more? We are so much less than God, and we know how to give good gifts. How much more does God want to give good things to us? Now, I'd just like to ask, what are good gifts? And I'd like for you to respond to this. What are good gifts that fathers can give to their children? Or maybe you think of a gift that was given to you. And just share that. Now, I don't know, do the others have some mics? If you just have a word or something like that, I'll try to repeat it so everybody hears. But if you'd like to say a little something, ask for a mic. Usher, would you be ready with a mic in case somebody has a little bit more to say? If you have a little bit of something you want to share, then ask for a mic so we can all hear. But what would be some of the good gifts that a father could give to their children? Time, okay, time. Okay, Monica?
I don't know what it's like in most families, but in our family, my dad didn't give physical gifts. My mom was the gift giver, you know, signing both of their names. But I remember one time my dad gave me a pillow. He went shopping with mom, and he picked out a pillow for me. When he gave it to me, he's like, here's an ugly pillow. And it was kind of ugly, but he did give a gift. But that's not, I mean, I remember that, but I think the best gifts that my dad gave me were lessons. Like, he was a great example, he is a great example of hard work. He gave me a great work ethic, and he loved my mom, and I think the best gift is he gave me a godly example.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very good. Someone else? Okay, over here, Craig.
Okay. In relation to my family, when I have a little kid that something when I'm tired and that makes me really angry, I can make their discipline really severe. Mm-hmm. Or if it's something that they do to each other and I think it's funny, then I can be pretty light. But I think my dad was consistent.
Okay.
I didn't see the emotion. I don't remember seeing the emotion that I try to stop sometimes when I'm angry.
Okay. The gift of consistency. Okay.
I think that time is probably one of the biggest things I remember. My dad didn't he always said he didn't have hobbies. He always said that all the kids were his hobbies. And I just have a lot of great memories chewing watermelon bubblegum and Burger King's birthday lunches. But the biggest thing is the time that he took to be with me.
Okay. Gift of time. Okay, who else? Okay, up here. Go back to Frida. Oh, okay, Lee, and then Frida back there. Okay.
I always appreciated my folks. My mom, she always showed her love to us. And she always gave us children each a hug. She never used any of us better than the other. We were all equal to her, and that's what I really appreciate with her love for us. And every night she always read a story to us, mm-hmm. and that's always been a good memory to me, to remember my mom. And my dad, he was stern. One thing I appreciate about him, he always told us once. The second time you got it. So I always appreciate it. I always see parents, they tell their children twice, three times, four times, and the child never listens. He always tries that to the parent. But we never did that. When my dad said something, we jumped and we did it. Because if we didn't, well, we got it.
Okay. All right. Again, that's consistency, isn't it?
My dad is one of them that believed in prayer.
Okay.
And I always appreciate that.
All right.
Part of it was standing in prayer. And he's been gone since 1980, but I still think that he was a good gift.
It's a precious gift, isn't it? Amen.
My dad taught me that he left early to get to work, so he had plenty of time to get there. He didn't try to clock in at the last minute, so he had taught me a good work ethic. But another lesson that he taught me that was on the negative side. And it's because of his culture growing up in the Amish church. You know, they can't, the word pride, means only one thing to them. So to say to his boys, I'm proud of you, that's just doesn't happen. And that hurts. And so I tried to turn that pain, for my own children. To tell them that I love them, and that's another thing, you know, no public affection, no words of affection. It was not until after my brother Sam died, of that brain aneurysm, that, there started to be hugs and when, you know, saying I love you when we parted. But before that just wasn't, that was not part of the culture. And so that was, our life. But I've tried to tell my kids, and I guess I'm sharing this so that you fathers that have children, tell your kids that you're proud of them, and approve of them, and let them know that you love them. Yeah.
A gift of approval is very important. Chris?
Pretty much just second what Monica said. Taught us a great work ethic and always do the right thing, even if it wasn't especially fun sometimes. If we had to go back and do the right thing after we did the wrong thing, but I've always appreciated that. And there's obviously things that could have been done different, but same stands for me.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, up here, Mary. Oh, okay. Susan, okay.
My father was a good man. He didn't show a lot of, didn't tell us very often that he loved us, but we knew he did. And I appreciate that about my father also. But what I really wanted to share was I was at a funeral one time, and I think this funeral was around close to Christmas time. And the son of the man who died said, "The best gift my father ever gave me was the gift of knowing where he is now." And that just stuck to me. And I thought, you know, that is important, that when we pass away, that people know without question that we were ready to go. It's a blessing.
Amen. Okay, Mary.
Well, it's been a long time. I remember the things of my father, but there's a lot of things I do remember. And one, my father was a carpenter, and of course when I got 9, 10, 11 years old, I was this boy. I had to do the work out in the field. And he put the harness on the horses before he went to work, and it was time for me to go out. I went to the horse town, you know, went to the field, and to work. And I remember how Dad was always so happy how I can do the things. And he would tell the neighbors of a good farmer I am. And I remember that would make me feel so good. I tried to do the best for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he always showed a lot of love for us children. And the evening, so many times, he would sit in after supper, he'd get his harmonica, and he would play the harmonica for us. And there's a lot of those things. And one thing I wish I wouldn't have to remember, but I do, and that was, Dad was always, but he said it, he meant. Sally and I, we didn't quite listen to him. And we were old enough, we should have listened, but we didn't. And we learned. And we got home. We didn't expect Dad to be home when it all happened, but he was. I was 13 years old. Sally was a couple of years younger. And he let us know what no means no. No, and that was my last present I got from him. Never again. And I always respected that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I never forget that night. I just still remember it. That really hurt me. That I didn't listen to Dad, and I need this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it did good for me the rest of my life. And I still like to honor my dad and my mother.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says we need to honor our parents, and I still like to honor them. We think that I know they would be glad for us.
Amen.
So, yes, many good memories with my parents.
Amen. So the gift of discipline, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, here's Tiffany.
My dad, when mom goes to a shower or something, we spend time together. That's one thing I really like.
Yeah, thank you.
Two words that I think of, in addition to a lot of others from my dad, is strength and security. Icy roads are not great, but if dad's driving, it's fun. You don't fear that, you know, you can be going in circles and it's okay. And even when I moved away from home, things would break or things wouldn't go right or would worry about financial stuff. Just make a phone call to dad and he says, it's okay, just check your tire pressure. I'm sure it's fine. You're going to be okay. And, so thank you, Dad, for the security and the strength that you've always provided.
The gift of security.
Daddy, when you...
He said dad is funny, and I would say that dad can make Mark laugh easier than anybody else in the world, and it's the best thing for Mark. If Mark's grumpy or having a bad day, I just have him call his dad, and his dad might, you know, sternly talk to him for about 0.05 seconds, and then they usually are both laughing, so he definitely gives Mark the gift of laughter. Amen.
Some of you are experiencing First Father's Day, losing your father, aren't you? Yeah. You know, I think that gift of a good reputation. My father was killed when I was 5 years old, and you know that was a gift that I had. Was he left a gift of a good reputation, and. It's priceless. It really is. Who else? Okay.
My dad gave the gift of time and good reputation and the gift of
thank you. Okay, Marcus?
The gift that I remember from my father was patience. When I was a young boy, my middle name should have been Y. I can remember my parents, both of them, just getting so exasperated with me. All the questions that I asked. But particularly when my dad was younger, he was a man of patience. He would explain things. And when his health took a turn, when he had a couple heart attacks, he lost his patience. He really did. That changed his demeanor a little bit. But I do remember that from my younger years. And so I could remember, I can't bring anything specifically to my mind, but I can remember that he usually tries to give me an answer to my why. So, to you young fathers, if a child is old enough to ask why,
Anyone else? Okay, up a Lois, and then up here at Lynn.
I just want to say my dad has been so caring in the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks at what we've been going through. I don't think there's a day gone by that dad doesn't call and ask how Spencer's doing. He has a very caring heart. I appreciate that. I also want to thank my husband for being there. He's such a godly father to our children. There's times that disciplining, I'm like, no, don't do that. But in the long run, they love and respect him for, yeah, I just love you, honey. Thank you for what you do for our family.
For many years, I dishonored my dad. Remember the day that I called my dad? Last couple times that we lived with my dad, we had such awesome times sitting around the Word, discussing and sharing things from the past. And I don't think I've ever seen Dad laugh so much. Mm-hmm. Just the forgiveness that he offered in the love shows.
Amen. Anyone else? Well, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing. You know, one thing I have not heard. I have not heard the gift of money. Because there's things and gifts that are a lot more important than money, isn't it? You know, these gifts that you've been sharing are good gifts. And they're they're gifts that are priceless. They're worth a lot more than money. And, if a father can only share money with his family, then he's missing out. And so there's things that are a lot more important than that. And, you know, sometimes people don't have good memories of their father. And they've had a traumatic childhood because of the way their father treated them and so on. And that's sad. And it is important we find forgiveness and so on in that. My mind went to John Freeman, who was a part of us for many years. And he shared with me his childhood. And it was tragic. He didn't know who his father was. And his mother used to introduce him as my, and that word is in our lesson here today later on, son. And, it was tragic. And you can see how it would affect, a person growing up and their whole life. And be thankful for those gifts. And I just thought, just think about the gifts that our Father, and then think about how our Heavenly Father wants to give good gifts to us. And that's the kind of God we serve. And that's the kind of God that cares for us. And so he goes on then in James 1:16. And he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." You know, a thought just comes to me. These gifts that God used our fathers to give to us, I believe ultimately comes from God. Do you ever think about that? God used them. God worked through our fathers to give us those gifts. Come down from the Father of lights. That's an interesting expression, Father of lights. And by the way, And a few verses later, we'll see a father of something else. But the father of light, I think he's talking about creation. He's the one that made light. He's the one that light comes from. And with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is that talking about? That last expression there. In whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What is that? What word, could you think of a word that describes that?
Consistency.
That's how I took it. Craig talked about that. And being consistent. God is consistent, isn't he? And we appreciate that. We appreciate that so much. Now, let's go on. We need to keep moving here. I really appreciated you sharing. Caring fathers. Now, this comes from Hebrews 12, starting at verse 7. And here was something now that came up a couple of different times in our gifts. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye, and you know, I about hate to say that word. This is the word that has, and children, sometimes you'll come across words in the Bible that you say, ooh, can I say that word? I'm not sure my parents want me to say that word. Excuse me. But that word there, and the word is bastards, and today it is it's like a swear word. It's the ultimate put down of somebody, it simply means an illegitimate child. It means a child born outside of marriage, so he's saying that if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? You know, I had to think in that whole thing. Think about our society that we live in. And think about all the illegitimate children that are born today under this definition here. And is it any wonder? I mean, when you go into the public school today and you'll find that quite a majority of children are born illegitimately. And it's almost rare for them to have a two-parent family that's their first marriage. And is it any surprise that we have the problems that we have? Fathers, the fathers in those situations usually don't have much relationship with their children. And if they have somebody else's children, they don't care for them. And so on. A lot of child abuse and so on stems from that. And it just seems like that has caused a lot of trouble in our society. But fathers generally want the best for their children. And that's why they discipline them. And this is so important, fathers, that of using proper discipline with your children. Because if you don't, they're going to grow up without discipline. And that can become a very tragic person. And I know sometimes we can do our best and children still fail. I realize that. But that discipline is that loving discipline that can be given is very important. And he says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? And there's a couple references I'm not going to go into back in Numbers. I came across that one here a while back. I was reading through the book of Numbers. And it used the expression, God the Father of the spirits. You know, there's a couple of basic things. I just thought of that, these two things. Father of lights, Father of spirits. There's a couple of basic things that really are important in our life. And that is, knowing that God created everything, and knowing that God made you and me. Knowing that our spirit comes from God. And if we, those are two basic concepts that when we have, make such a big difference in our lives. That God made everything, and that He made our spirit. I would say our spirit comes from Him. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit at this point. I'm just talking about our spirit as a human being comes from God. And God breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. He gave us of His spirit, and that's our life. Over in John chapter 1, He lighteth every man that cometh into the world, it says. He gave us His spirit. And it's important that we have that. So we can be unto the Father, we be in subjection unto Him. You know, I found that it really helps. When we see people, meet people, and so on, that we have maybe a problem with. Maybe we can look down on them, or we think they're really ugly, or whatever. We don't agree with them. Just stop and tell yourself, God made that person. God put some of His spirit into that person. Jesus died for that person. And you know, when we do that, it helps us to think properly about other people. And I think that's very important. Verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Mary shared how much she appreciates the fact that her father disciplined them. And that she still appreciates that and honors that. And you know, sometimes the Lord brings discipline into our lives for our good. And we need to appreciate that. He wants us to be partakers of His holiness. And now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Never any fun, is it? Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto him, unto them which are exercised thereby. If we actually let it, allow it to work in our lives, we will come to the place where we say, that was needed for me. I needed that. That was good. Now, let's just quickly look at the last section there. And this is a section of contrasting fathers. And the first one is from Genesis 18, verse 17. And the contrast is between Abraham and Lot. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? And notice this, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And that is true. There's really, all the nations of the earth have been blessed in Abraham. You ever stop and think there's three main world religions that all look back to Abraham? The Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews all look back to Abraham. The Christians would look back, but they look back to Abraham. Ultimately, this all the nations be blessed is in Jesus Himself. It was through His lineage that Jesus, the Savior, was born. And so how true that is. He says, verse 19, for I know Him, that He will command His children and His household after Him, And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And that's what God had to say about Abraham. Isn't that a challenge as fathers to be like that? Now, the other contrast is Lot. How is Lot related to Abraham? His nephew. Look up something. Did Lot have any sisters? Who were Lot's sisters? We never think about that, do we? Go to the end of Genesis 11. Don't do it now. But when you think about it, go to the end of Genesis 11 and read the last several verses of that Genesis 11 and see what you think. That's interesting. Now, let's go on. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides? Now, this is when the angels came to Sodom. Remember that story? And they said they were going to destroy this city. Get out. You and your family, get out before we destroy it. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. And now here is a very sad verse. It says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He had lost his influence. And we know that Lot moved down to Sodom because it looked like this was a place, this was wealthy, this was a place where things would be the easiest and so on. But he lost his influence. His two daughters were spared, but those that were married and so on, he lost his influence and they perished. So it's just a contrast of those two fathers and how things ended up with them. Well, I think we'll close. Is there anything anybody would really wanted to share yet? Maybe you didn't in the other part. But anything yet that anybody would really like to share yet before we close? Well, happy Father's Day to all the men. And remember the offering basket in the back, offering box in the back. And also, I think there's a gift back there did I understand right? It's to youth on up, all the men. And Meadow.
There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board for meals for Chris and Carolyn.
Okay. All right. Okay, sign-up sheet for Chris and Carolyn. Let's stand for another one. Okay, who will write Scott's? Those are the three? Who will write Scott's this week? Okay, Chad. Who will write Daryl's? Marjorie. And who will write Scott and Alyssa? Okay, Mariella. Okay. All right, we have those three. And Mark, are you going to send them an email? Okay, you send them an email. Okay, Jim. Who's going to write Jim? Okay, Verna. Okay. All right, thank you. And let's stand together for the closing prayer. Father, we come to you as the ultimate Father. You are perfect. And Lord, we look to you as the example of what a father should be. Thank you for this time here today. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us as men can just be, with your help, Lord, determined to be better fathers. I just pray that you would continue to lead us and help us. Lord, we know that some are not feeling well. Just be with them in a special way. And Lord, as we face this new week, that we can face it in confidence and trust in you. Thank you, Lord. Dismiss us now with your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you.